Have your Bible with you this morning. Turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. You may want to keep your Bible handy. We're going to be flipping back and forth through a lot of scripture this morning. I'll do my best not to rush you in between looking if you're wanting to follow along in each of the readings, in each of the passages. But don't want to lag too much either. It is beneficial for me to be able to flip right to them, so I understand that you're going to, some of you will want to look for them. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 17 is the text. Paul is carrying a heavy load. At one point in his writings, he says, the care of all the churches. And in that list, we will be looking at that list in a little bit, but in that list, there's a whole lot of things that he bears, that he carries, the pressures of his life. And he kind of sums it all up with that last statement and the care of all the churches. That may have been the biggest load of them all, although the least recognized. But in verse number 17, he tells us, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. R.E. Howard says it this way about this passage of Scripture, and I want to begin with this. Having made his point, Paul rested his case. From henceforth, let no man trouble me. The apostle had exhausted himself in the service of Christ, and in substance asked that in the future he be spared the abuse and distress heaped upon him by his opponents. The justification for his request is, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. The figure alludes to the prevalent practice of branding slaves, indicating to whom they belonged. Soldiers were also branded, identifying the general under whom they served. Paul often identified himself as the slave of Jesus Christ. For him, it was a favorite figure. The wounds and scars of the battle were his badge. The marks of the Lord Jesus were indelibly etched on his body. They marked him as a slave in deed and not simply in word. But he bore his identification joyfully. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Now we don't, just by reading that verse, we don't really get a picture of what he is talking about in the way of his marks. But if we flip back to 2 Corinthians, he gives us a listing there of what those marks may have been, what those marks were. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 gives us a detailed, although not graphic, but a detailed list of the marks that he may have been referring to here in Galatians chapter 6, verse 17. Verse number 23, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. And then he begins his listing. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes save one. Can we just stop there? 5 times he took beatings of 39 stripes. I used to count sometimes the stripes that Dad would lay on me. Never came close to 39. And that was from a man who said he loved me. Said that it hurt him worse than it hurt me. 39 stripes. 5 different times. This is a mere man. This isn't a man, God-man figure like Jesus, where we want to dump a whole lot of that over onto the divine, where Jesus suffered so much and we want to dump that over onto the divine as though man really didn't have a whole lot to play. But here's a man, here is all man who carried 5 times 39 stripes. But if that wasn't enough, he goes on, 3 times was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned, 3 times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. What a list. What a list of the marks of the Lord Jesus. Now some people may argue, and it may be a valid argument, that Paul was so willing to bear these marks because of all the marks that he gave to other people under the same cause. Because before he was saved, he did everything he could against the Christian, and he marked the Christians. That may be a valid argument why he was so willing to accept all these stripes and beatings and stoning even. To be left for dead as he was stoned. The Scripture has a few things to say about markings. You can find it perhaps more often in the King James wording than in other translations. We find that there are some things that even Ezekiel talks about in being marked. Ezekiel in chapter number 9, verses 4 to 6, but mainly in verse number 4, it's given us an indication here that God is saying to go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and that cry for all the abominations that be done in the midst thereof. You may not understand exactly the wording that's given there in that passage, but really we could boil it down to say that God is saying for the prophet to mark those who grieve the drift to worldly living. To grieve the drift away from God. To mark those people who are grieved in their heart, who have a burden in their soul because of the drifting of the church. There's people today that are grieving that drift. I believe that it's the same for us that we should mark them. Not mark them in opposition, but mark them noting that these people are the ones that are carrying the burden of the church and the passion for the church. That is a mark of the Lord Jesus. You can also find that there's another mark. In Philippians chapter 3, again, going to Paul's writings, it tells us here of people that are walking the right way, that are living the right way. And Paul very clearly speaks of it personally and brings it back to himself. He said, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample." You say, well, that sounds like he's lifting himself up. Well, hold on just a little bit. Another translation words it this way, "Brethren, join in following my example and observe those who walk according to the pattern you have in us." You see, Paul was so carefully zeroed in to following Jesus Christ that he wasn't afraid to say, "Follow me as I follow Christ." You and I can get our eyes off of Christ and onto people, but we dare not get our eyes onto people. But he is challenging us to mark or observe those who follow carefully. I'm talking about a careful walk, similar to that of Paul. That's what he's saying. We live in a day and an age of luxury, in a day and an age of pampering ourselves. We like to have it easy. I like to have it easy. I don't mind air conditioning. I don't mind air conditioning in the church or in the car or at the workplace even. That's fine to have air conditioning. You know, I'm kind of soft. I've told you about blisters on the hands. I'm kind of soft. Paul tells us that we are to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Being a good soldier of Jesus Christ would indicate that there are some marks that we will have to bear. There are some disciplines that we will have to undergo. There are some struggles that we will have to go through in order to build our spiritual lives up to a careful sensitivity to His leading so that others can mark us as a careful observer of Jesus Christ. Mark those who observe these ways. Mark those who are careful in this way. Mark those who grieve the drifting of the church. We also find some negative marks. One of the first markings in the Bible, or the first marking of the Bible, is one that you're very familiar with. It's common to us. It's found in Genesis chapter 4, and it's the mark that the Lord set on Cain because Cain was a murderer. Now, I know that quite often we take that mark was there to identify him as a murderer, but it kind of indicates that mark was there as a protection against people that would try to kill Cain. But nonetheless, there was still a mark on him because of that act, that deed. Now, if we take that passage and that marking, and we jump over into the book of 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 15, it indicates to us there what a murderer really is. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. Well, we really ought to spend a little bit of time here trying to define what hatred is. He that doesn't love his brother, he that hateth his brother. Somebody tried to define it very simply by saying, if I love anybody less than I love myself, then in essence I'm not loving that person the way that I should, and so I'm hating that person. That's a pretty fine line definition of murder. Are we marked as a murderer? Job talks about being marked. Job, the man that certainly Satan had marked. Job, the man that God had listened to Satan's attack against. Well, sometimes Satan will mark us. Sometimes Satan will mark people. But as we think about that particular thought here in the context of Job, as we realize that sure, Satan had marked Job, and then we find what Job has to say in Job chapter 10 and verse number 14. If I sin, then thou markest me. Now Job at this time didn't know that Satan had marked him. We don't really know for sure exactly what's going through the mind of Job at this particular time, but we do understand that Job was very hesitant to admit his guilt of any transgression, even though his comforters tried to convince him that he was as guilty as anybody. Job speaks up and he says, "If I sin, then thou markest me, and thou wilt not acquit me from mine iniquity." Do you know that every person that does sin is marked? Job wasn't speaking out of turn. He wasn't speaking just simply because of his circumstances. He was speaking some great theology, even New Testament theology. For we'll find it over in 1 John, if we flip back over there again, we will find in 1 John chapter 3 that God Himself tells us that we are marked in the way that we live. In essence, mark ourselves by the way that we live. Look at what John says here in 1 John chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." Did you get that? There's the marking of a Christian is that they don't sin. The marking of a sinner is that they sin. So what Job is saying there in that passage in Job chapter 10 verse 14, that God would mark him if he sins, that in reality Job was just saying God marked him, but because of sin we are marked. You know, we all know about the marking in Revelation. I'm not going to spend really any time there, just bring it out that there is a mark of the beast. And Revelation chapter 14 would tell us that anybody who receives that mark will be cast into hellfire, will be cast into the lake of fire. We also find that there's some other things that are marked in the New Testament that Paul very clearly marks. Romans chapter 16. You know, when you read after Paul, if you read him enough, you can begin to feel his feelings. You can begin to feel his passion. You can feel what he's saying and compare it with some other things and bring the two or three or four of those passages together to get the essence of Paul. And here, this may be something that's clarified in the book of Romans, but you can find it through the overtone of the Pauline epistles. This is what he said in verse 17 of the last 17 of the last chapter of Romans. "Now I beseech you, brethren," he's speaking to the church, he's speaking to the brethren in the church. He said, mark them, identify them, put some kind of a significant point on them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which we have learned, and then avoid them. Sometimes Scripture goes against everything that we want to hold dear. Did you hear me? Sometimes Scripture goes against everything that we hold dear. And avoid them. I would say that that has something to do with intolerance. Mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. Now that does not mean that we can't disagree. But it may have something to do with how we disagree. It may have something to do with the direction that we go in the midst of our disagreements. It does have something to do with causing offenses and divisions to where we separate the body of Christ. Isn't that something? Isn't something said in Scripture about hanging a millstone on their head, over their head, and being cast into the sea because of offenses? And it also says that woe unto the person whereby offenses come. Now, there is a reality that offenses will come, but woe unto that person whereby offenses come. Paul is saying that we are to mark those. Now, Paul has been marked, indelibly etched onto his body, the markings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's saying to his brethren that we are to mark those that have divisions or that cause divisions and cause offenses. So we have these markings that Scripture indicate for us. Paul gave us a listing of the marks that he may have been referring to that are, as the writer said, etched, indelibly etched onto his body. Not tattooed, not some kind of an ink engraving, but etched, indelibly etched upon his body because of the actions taken against him as a servant, branded as a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. So is it possible then that there are marks of the Lord Jesus? Is it possible that he really has some kind of markings for his people? 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's just stop there and allow that to sink in to our heart today as we think about the marks of the Lord Jesus. Now, the chances are that you probably never thought about that particular phrase in that verse to be a mark. But it is. You see, that is a mark of the Lord Jesus Christ, His grace. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have you experienced grace? Have we given grace? Have we looked beyond the skin to see the person? Have we looked beyond the shepherd boy and realized that there's potential for a king? That's grace. That's a mark of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, I am marked by the Lord Jesus Christ. A marking of Him, a marking of Christ would be that of grace. Because Jesus gave and gives grace. We can go over to the book of Hebrews, and he gives us, this writer gives us a list of four things that are the marks of the Lord Jesus. Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 26. For such an high priest became us. Okay, he's speaking about Jesus here. You understand that's what he's saying. He's basically saying Jesus Christ, our high priest. Who is, and then he lists these four things. These marks. He is holy, he is harmless, or the Revised Version says he is guileless, he is undefiled, and he's separate from sinners. You see that? These four marks. How are we being marked? How am I being marked? We've just looked very quickly at five markings of Jesus Christ. Can I say with Paul that I'm marked? I carry in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. You see, there's something that is stamped. There is something that is etched onto our life. We call it a reputation. That person has a reputation. We all have a reputation, don't we? Every one of us has a reputation. It doesn't take us long as a child to have a reputation. You know, kids have reputations. We have reputations. It's hard to outlive your reputation. Matter of fact, it's impossible to outlive it because our reputation follows. What is it that we have been marked by? We carry within us. Our life is etched by what we are or who we are. Our life has been etched by who we serve. If we are one of Christ, then our life should have the etchings of Jesus Christ within us. Is my life etched or is it stamped by God's holiness? Is my life stamped by the self-denial that has been portrayed through the grace of Jesus Christ to people around Him? Is my life stamped by meekness? Is my life and character stamped by the abhorrence of evil? Isn't it Daniel Stafford that preached a message, something about sign of loving God? It's not the exact words, but the sign of loving God is to hate sin, to hate evil. Is my life stamped or is it etched by these things in my life so that it shows that I bear the mark of the Lord Jesus? There's none of us, there's not a single one of us here that will carry the marks that Paul listed that may have been his marks that he was referring to. But see, every one of us as a Christian will be marked by something, and we should be marked by the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ, the things that He was, the things that He is. Now, not only have we seen in Scripture there's some positive marks, and there's also some negative marks. And all of those stains and marks that come by sin can be washed away through the blood of Jesus Christ. One person penned these words, "Take my poor heart and let it be forever closed to all but Thee. Seal Thou my breast and I shall wear the pledge of love forever there." The songwriter said, "Take my life and let it be His only forever." Etched, stamped, marked by the grace, the self-denial, the humility, the meekness, all of those things that we could pinpoint and say were marks of the Lord Jesus, may they be stamped on my life. Paul was frustrated perhaps with all that was going on and the arguments that were brought to him. He said, "Don't bother me with these things. I carry the marks, indelible marks of the Lord Jesus Christ." That is, if you go back in a few verses, previous verses, that is a new creature in Christ Jesus. A new creature carrying the marks of the Lord Jesus. What is your life marked by? What are you carrying this morning as a mark of the Lord Jesus Christ? Let's be marked by Him. Stand with me if you would, please.